tyranny, forged by freedom. That's what made us the greatest nation this world has known. We must resurrect that spirit to preserve liberty for ourselves and our posterity. This is Revolution's Revival. And now, your host, the cigar-smoking, politically incorrect, patriot of the hour, Caleb Shoemate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Revolution's Revival. I'm your host, Caleb Shoemate, and today I want to talk about something that I believe is very important in not only American society today, but the world as a whole, and that is forgiveness, something we seem to be lacking quite a bit of, and I'm not the only one. Breaking Bad actor Bryan Cranston spoke to the Associated Press this past week, and he had a thing or two to say about political correctness and forgiveness and how it harms the spirit of forgiveness, and he asked, where does forgiveness live now since we are in such a PC culture? I want to play that audio for you, and then I'll get back to you, and I'll say a thing or two about it and give you my thoughts and what I'm feeling about it.
We live in this cancel culture of people erring and doing wrong, either on purpose or by accident, and there's a less forgiveness in our world. I think we're unfortunately in a coarser environment. I think our societies have become harder and less understanding, less tolerant, less forgiving. And my question today was, where does forgiveness live in our society? Where can we accept someone's behavior if they are contrite, if they are apologetic and take responsibility? Isn't it possible that forgiveness plays a part in that and they are welcomed back in, as opposed to creating more fences, creating more, you're out, you're in, that's it, you make one mistake, gone. You know, people, whether it's, you know, having an impulsive reaction to something and being frightened and doing something wrong and being ostracized for the rest of their lives or something, it's like, I think we need to take a second look at that and exhale and realize that asking forgiveness and receiving forgiveness are not weaknesses, but are human strengths.
Imagine that forgiveness is a human strength and not a weakness. What a refreshing message to hear today. I know that I would wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Cranston. I think that we have far, far too little forgiveness and far too much political correctness. Political correctness is the enemy of correctness, the enemy of truth, the enemy of free speech. And you know what? We've all made mistakes. Every single one of us. I've made mistakes, and I'm sure that I'll make a lot more. I'm sure that as I do this podcast at times, I will make mistakes, and I ask you to forgive me in advance. I know that I will. I know that down the road, if I were to get a radio show and somebody hears something that I said or maybe something that I wrote while I was at the Libertarian Republic, even though I hold myself in a high standard, I'm sure if they dig down deep enough, they'll find a skeleton or two in my closet. And I say that not just, you know, put myself on some kind of humble pedestal, but to let you guys know that we all have skeletons in our closets. We have all done things that require to ask for forgiveness and to be forgiven. And this politically correct culture that was created really by the left, but it has been sort of dealt with by both sides, but the left is the one that has really fostered it. It creates a society that is coarse. I'll tell you, it creates a society a dysfunctional one. If we were to compare it to one big family, if we're all a human family, it creates one, a family of dysfunction. A family that's always at each other's throat. I know I said in my premiere episode that no matter what the government throws at us as a people, we will get through it as long as we don't slit our own throat, metaphorically and perhaps literally speaking. I know that listening to that, I couldn't help but think about the words of Christ. And I am a Christian, so from time to time, you will hear me speak about Christian principles and Jesus Christ, and I make no apologies for that. But in Matthew, the Apostle Peter asked Jesus, he said, "How many times should I forgive my neighbor?" And Christ responded, 7 times 70. And that's a metaphor for infinitely. I think that's a good example that we should all follow, regardless of our religious faith or lack thereof, to be forgiven and to always put ourselves in the other person's shoes. I know we will all eventually make screw-ups. As I said, we're all fallible human beings. That's part of the human experience. But if we don't come to a point to where it becomes nothing but a witch hunt, that we have to find and dig up dirt on someone just because they look at the world maybe a little differently than we do, and that we find something they said that, oh, you know, that was horrible, so we have to crucify them, that will rip us apart. And you know what? We'll have nobody but ourselves to blame for that. It will be our fault. This is not something that you can legislate. This is something that the American people, that we have to deal with as a society. You can't fix it through law. This only comes from moral principles. And I think forgiveness is a good moral principle that we should all be in a posture of practicing. If we don't, I feel sorry for us. I believe that we have an addiction to outrage. We're always trying to find something to be angry about, it seems this day. Just look at the mainstream media. They always show you pictures of people being at each other's throats, violence all the time. If you were to believe the things that the mainstream media threw at you, you would think America's the most violent country in the world, like 24/7, like some third world country. And even though we have problems today that sometimes result in violence, even though I don't think that's the necessary response, they have been addressed with violence. We are not what the mainstream media would have you believe. We are not a violent people. We are a peaceful people. The ideas that this country was founded on function best in a peaceful society. Libertarians want peace. All of the ideas that we advocate for revolve around peace and cooperation within a society. Free markets, property rights. None of that is possible without a peaceful, civil society. You don't see that in third world countries that go from regime to regime and all these different dictators that, you know, are constantly in and out of power. You don't see that in other countries, and I believe that's what makes us different. But if we allow this political correctness bullcrap to continue, that upsets the balance. That upsets the nature of peace, which is necessary for a society to prosper. It also takes the fun out of life. I mean, you can look at political correctness. Look at what they've done to all the comedians. And I could name a list as long as a room. You know, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, I mean, God, Ricky Grievous, I believe his name is. I could name comedian after comedian after comedian. All these people are from very diverse backgrounds, by the way. You know, not all these people are right-wing people. I would even dare to say that most of them either are hardcore left or lean left. And this cancel culture that has been created, that we have fostered and allowed to fester, has practically destroyed comedy. Nobody can say anything. Everybody's afraid to make people laugh anymore. I never thought that I would get to a point to where I would say that comedians were heroes just for doing their jobs. But that seems to be the order of the day. That seems to be courageous just to make people, to dare to make people laugh today because of this politically correct bullcrap that we deal with. And it makes me sick because you know what? Comedy is supposed to be offensive. And you don't have a right not to be offended. I'm sorry if that's a newsflash to you. The First Amendment only exists to protect offensive speech. And you know what? You know what's so beautiful about the First Amendment and protecting offensive speech? Offensive speech is very subjective. What offends me may not offend you. But the First Amendment encompasses all of that. You know what? If I'm offended by something, choose not to engage with it. But we've got to stop canceling people just because they say something we disagree with. That's what makes this country beautiful. These ideas that we were founded on, free speech and prosperity. These are individual rights, and political correctness is a cancer that must be removed at all cost. And we can't allow this to continue. If we do, America as we know it will be fundamentally gone. Free speech is something that has always been treasured here. It's not something that you see to the degree that we have here in America or that we were founded on to be able to have. And that's threatened today by big tech and by the politicians. You see big tech doing the politicians' bidding in a lot of ways, censoring speech that they don't deem acceptable, and it must be stopped. We have to stop this, not through legislation, but as a people. We have to stand up and we have to say no. Because I tell you what, if government gets involved and starts saying what people can say and what they can't, it's going to get very nasty. And America will no longer be the America that I know and love. We have to stand up and say no more and refuse to go off the cliff. I'd like to read to you from an article written at the Daily Wire dealing with the same topic. The character actor, Rowan Atkinson, who is best known for his work as the English comedian Mr. Bean, also had a thing or two to say about political correctness. He said, and I quote, The problem we have online is that an algorithm decides what we want to see, which ends up creating a simplistic binary view of society, Atkinson told the UK Radio Times. It becomes a case of either you're with us or against us, and if you're against us, you deserve to be canceled. It's important that we're exposed to a wide spectrum of opinion. But what we have now is a digital equivalent of the medieval mob roaming the streets, looking for someone to burn, Atkinson added. So it's scary for anyone who's a victim of the mob. It fills me with fear about the future. Fear. That is one thing that we should not have to be dealing with when it comes to free speech, my friends. Fear? Are we not going to even be able to say anything funny anymore? I tell you what, comedy is supposed to push boundaries. That's what makes it funny. And if we're having to go around and be a bunch of little stuck-up, tight butts because we're afraid to say anything, then what's the point of life? I honestly believe humor is the spice of life. And humor makes life easier. Life is hard. I know that all too well. Living with CP over the past 28 years. If I couldn't laugh at myself and laugh at other things once in a while, it'd be a downright miserable existence. it breaks my heart to even read those words. And I'll tell you, if someone has wronged you, again, forgive them. Forgiveness is not as much for you or for the other person as it is for you, excuse me. It is more for you, because if you go around and you carry bitterness in your heart, you know what? Bitterness and hatred is a cancer, and it will eat you alive. It will make you miserable. It can lead to all kinds of depression. I'm speaking from experience here. These are things that I've dealt with in my own life. It will make you to the point that not only no one wants to be around you, you won't be able to stand yourself. You will be so miserable that ultimately all you'd want to do is die. And that is not what life is supposed to be. We have to exercise forgiveness for ourselves and for others. If we don't, I pity us for what the future is going to look like. Don't be afraid to speak. Speak your mind, even when you're wrong. I would rather be wrong and be free to be wrong than be enslaved in this digital ghetto to where I can't think, I can't reason through my thoughts to shape myself, to sharpen my thoughts, to become a better person. It creates a stupid society when we're not allowed to think, when we're told what we can think and what we can't say. It brings us back. It doesn't move us forward. It brings us back to the Dark Ages, not the Enlightenment. I pray for a rebirth of Enlightenment ideas. I don't want to see a second Dark Ages. But I'm telling you, that's what this culture is fostering, and it must be stopped at all cost. If we don't stop it, again, I'm telling you, I fear for our children, for our grandchildren and their children, because they're taking everything away that makes life meaningful and doesn't make it just a miserable existence. And we can't allow that. Pray for me, guys. Pray for me that I am able to articulate the ideas and to always stand up for what is right. And I promise that I will always be honest with you. I promise that even though other people may try to censor me in the future, and they may be trying to do it now, I know they did with some of my writing at the Libertarian Republic, I will not shut up. You will not shut me up. That is my promise to you. I will always stand for free speech. I will stand up for people even when it's not the popular thing to do. You know why? Because that's the only time it matters. I hope that this has done something for you. I hope that it has given you a little hope, knowing that you're not alone. Because you know what? I know there are other people that feel the exact same way that I do. Let's do this together. Until the next time, I've been your host, Caleb Shoemate. And this has been another episode of Revolution Revival. I'll see you soon. God bless you guys.